You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. Glad to have you here yet again. And unfortunately, it's not a great time, is it? It's been such a messed up time globally. I really hope that you have not been affected, that your colleagues, your friends, your family have been somehow safe from this thing that's been traveling around the world. And I hope that the world really does get back to normal. But here's the thing, we can help you along the way. Virtual Excursions Australia has been around since 2012. And this time we chat with Karen Player, who along with myself and Stephen Bancroft set up in 2012 to help people out with virtual excursions, distance learning, ed tech, and all that sort of thing. And Karen's going to have to share, well, some of her ideas about what's coming up in the future around Virtual Excursions Australia and how you can get involved. So hopefully this is a useful chat considering how messed up it has been globally. And even after this is all over, the content that you hear now will certainly be useful for many years to come. So I hope you're doing well. Let's jump straight in the chat because we've got a bit to share.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
Karen, welcome again to the Phys Ed Podcast.
Great to be here again, Ben.
Hey, you're now our very first serial visitor to the podcast.
I'm not sure I quite like the sound of that, but I certainly always love having a chat with you about what's going on in science education and the digital realms.
Oh, gosh, I just realised how much they sound like Dexter. No, it's great to have you back. Now, people who've been long-time listening know that Karen Player was heavily involved with the Australian Museum for many, many years and was on the podcast, a while ago now. Mm. But you've branched out and doing cool things. Karen, tell us what you're getting up to.
Well, I left the museum in 2019 to have a chance to actually do a little bit more face-to-face education with schools and started Sydney Science Education. So it's been lots of fun writing blogs and going out visiting schools. And of course, everything that's been happening at the moment has really got us rethinking about what we do when we can't visit school. So one of the things that I've been involved in for the last decade was actually virtual excursions. So it's been really nice to put that sort of digital hat back on and rethink how we can deliver programs remotely for groups that are either homeschooling or during school holidays, and how we can have that digital engagement. So, you know, Ben and I know that you can still have really great hands-on, interactive, you know, learning experiences with students through virtual excursions and digital programs. So that's probably a little bit of a shift from where I thought I was going to be 6 months ago, but it's been nice to sort of step back in those digital shoes.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I mean, there's so many different versions of cliches and hackneyed responses to this, but yeah, it's been nuts. Let's just tell it as it's been nuts for everyone. And the thing is that really the focus of this entire chat is, well, by the way, well done with Sydney Science Education and moving out of the museum into the big wide yonder, and you're doing an amazing job. And but Virtual Excursions Australia has been around for a very long time and doing really like a whole bunch of different collaborative events for many years, and it really is like getting the band back together.
And I completely agree. And it was the 2012 QuestNet conference up in Cairns where you, me and Steve Bancroft from RVR Media were having a beer after one of those, you know, great sessions. And we're like, well, what can we do? What can we do differently? How can we help people not make the same mistakes we've made? How can we share that information? And I think that's where VEA was born. And I have to also do a shout out to Vanessa Barrett, because I think it was during one of the New South Wales Inspiring Australia sort of network meetings that the whole idea that there's lots of people that are moving into the virtual world at the same time, that maybe we should all start having meetings and get together.
Absolutely right. I mean, in fact, it was before even Inspiring Australia existed. I believe Vanessa Barrett was working with the Office of Science and Medical Research at the time and was grabbing us the virtual excursion types all together into a room, and it really was only six of us.
Yeah.
And we just
were trying to do cool stuff, and we were up at QuestNet at that conference up in Cairns. And I do, we should take note of the bar at the time, to be honest. But anyway,
I can visualize it. I can visualize where we were sitting and the three of us having these conversations. And we were just so excited about the opportunity to just share ideas. And I think that's really where the strength of Virtual Excursions Australia was, is that a lot of the politics wasn't there, and that was why it worked. So we were able, it didn't matter if you were a private company, a government organisation, a federal, a state, a regional, a metro organisation, everyone was there to learn from each other. And it was, I've never been involved in a network quite like that since, before or since that time. So yeah. Virtual Excursions Australia was really, it was groundbreaking with what it was doing. And it was just really putting people together, either with best practice on how to present digital programs, or, luckily we had some nice tech advice from Steve as well. So he was able to sort of go, you know what? You need audio. That was probably the thing that I've taken away from him most, is it doesn't matter how great your video is. If you don't have great audio, there's no point. So yeah, I think he was probably the one that really made us all think that audio is just as important, if not more important.
What's really cool about that group is, you could list nearly 40 organizations of all different types, not just science, by the way. It was every type you could think of. But it wasn't just them. We had people who supplied the data, literally through the internet cabling. You had people who did the hardware or the web conferencing software, drop on in for best practice chats, which we would have monthly, years on end. And I think around the peak, around about 2015, 2016, I mean, we were doing events every month to thousands of kids, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, I would love to know from all of our figures, from all of the members of Virtual Excursions Australia, how many students we reached.
I know that at one event alone, and it was organised by the Field of Mars Environmental Education Centre, they had 15,000 kids in 2 days. And we would do, whether it was Pirate Day or Slime Day or whatever day it was. Dinosaur Day, I believe, was always quite popular. But these events would just attract kids from everywhere. It was so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the idea that we could do events, each organisation could go, you know what, I really like to do stuff during Earth Science Week, and all of the organisations that had a link to Earth Science Week would then do events. So everyone could put up whatever they liked. There was no issues with, I've got this time, don't book something then. It was everyone just gets involved. And then there would be another one that might be Book Week. And so a lot of the libraries and organisations there would get on board in those ones. So it was really, there was always something for everyone. So I think, I do remember Slime Day quite fondly, when we had Martin Robertson, the naturalist at the Australian Museum, teaching kids how they could make homemade post-it notes with leopard slugs.
Yeah, which is wild, by the way. I mean, who would have thought? But it's genius. And yet, I remember at the time when we brought up that idea, there were questions for example, how could Sydney Living Museums get involved? And then someone went, hang on, there was slime between the convicts' toes. And when we came up with Piracy Day, I mean, I remember at the time it was called the Powerhouse Museum, they said, well, we can do internet piracy. So, I mean, it all just came down to your creativity, and it worked a treat. So I guess what I would love to know, and those people listening, and I hope you'll want to know too, clearly Virtual Excursions Australia is getting a bit of a roll on with this whole COVID-19 thing. So what might be coming up?
Well, Ben, it really, as you said, is getting the band back together. So, the first thing I did was have a look at the website, and the website really looked a little bit old. So we've refreshed the website. We've got new content up. Some of the great articles that had been previously written are still valid for today. And both you and I have actually been writing quite a lot of new content to include there as well. So, and a lot of things that are really relevant to what's happening at the moment, which is great. And it's really time to start thinking about events again. So as term two ticks over for many states, we'll be posting lots of events again. And the advantage of that is lots of different organisations could get involved and hang things over those umbrellas. So probably one of the first big ones we'll be looking at will be around National Science Week, and we'll be going back to essentially the whole of August being SciFest. And lots of organisations will be jumping on board with that. So it's going to be a great opportunity for your kids at home or your students at home or your students in the classroom. We don't know what will be happening by the time we get to August. But having great access to, you know, world-recognised scientific content from organisations across Australia. So SciFest will be a great one to get back started. But, you know, we've already been chatting about whether there's a few smaller events we can get involved. I know you're keen on May the 4th.
Why not?
May the 4th be with you. And, you know, I'm always a big fan of World Environment Day, which is the 5th of June. So I think there'll be a few of the smaller, maybe sort of one-day events leading up to sort of the big month of science, which is August. And, of course, we'll be mentioning Earth Science Week already, I think Rocktober, and we'll need to come back out again. So I think they're the few ones that we'll start off seeing first up, and then, yeah, I think 2021 will be growing even more. But we know that both Earth Science Week and Science Week are such big events on people's calendars that it's a great one to use to promote the diversity of great content that there is across Australia.
And tell you what, just thinking then, like, I mean, it doesn't just have to be the sort of events that we come up with. I love just coming up with random ideas to fit
yes,
anything.
I have noticed that from time
yes, to time. I do. And I was just thinking just then, if you are listening in and go, you know what would be cool? Go to the Virtual Excursions website and Virtual Excursions Australia website and just type in a quick g'day, quick hi, and say, I wish you did an event on whatever that might be. We just might come up with something, because, it, you know, as much as it's been a really terrible time, we can kind of do something interesting with this. I mean, because we're all faced by nature of this distance learning software, whatever, hardware, all the stuff that we have to now use a lot because we've got no choice because of social distancing, let's at least make this interesting for the learners, because they're stuck at home and that's probably a good time to, you know, liven up their mood a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the great opportunity that the digital technologies give us, a really big scope of doing, you know, really small focused groups of students to, you know, big live streams and big, you know, big fancy shows. And it's just, and anything in between. So there really is a great variety of not only content, but technology solutions to deliver that content to students. So it's a really exciting place to be in at the moment. Terrifying and exciting. And so Virtual Excursions Australia is just so well placed to be in the forefront of promoting that. So, you know, we're really talking to a lot of the pre-existing content providers and new content providers about, you know, getting information up. And so Virtual Excursions Australia was always like that portal of information where we could promote other things that were happening. And it's not just about what our members were providing, but what else was just out there. So one of the posts I put up recently in response to a lot of the great ones that were coming out of the US with live streams and free virtual museum tours and things like that, was to actually do an Australian version. So, you know, we collated information that we'd seen coming through and made it a one-stop shop. And I have to say, I've been adding stuff as more organisations are going, oh, that's right, we've got this already, let's promote that. And it gives us an opportunity to actually have an Australian focus on those amazing virtual tours and other digital programs and live streams, zoos and aquariums that are out there, so everyone can find them as well.
Totally. So now I do also know that a lot of people around the world listen to this podcast, which is wild in itself. So if you happen to be within a reasonable time zone, just because we're in Australia doesn't mean we won't play nice. We do, which means these content providers, not just, you know, physics and Sydney science education, but lots of these places will 100% run programs for you regardless of where you are. In fact, I've actually run programs into South Korea and a few other places where I've had to have a translator. And you can do it. You just have to, in my case, very much slow down with my words. But it does work. And it all comes down to, you know, time zones and that sort of thing. And hey, I was just thinking, because this is one of the things that was the bedrock of VEA, Virtual Excursions Australia, was this idea of best practice. And undoubtedly over the years, Karen, I bet you you've had a lot of, well, questions and thoughts and wonderings around how do you do the thing? How do you do the stuff? What should I do? What's the most common thing that you tend to get asked? Is it more around hardware or software or what is it?
It is a combination, and sometimes it really is just where do I start? And so it's just a matter of puzzling out what is your focus? What do you actually want to achieve by doing a virtual excursion or a digital program? Some of it is we just want to have audience engagement. Some of it, they just want to keep networking. And some of it's, well, we've got some great staff that we want to ensure have continued work. And so once you kind of know what that organization wants, or from the other end, if it's a teacher, you know, what content do you want? And it's easier to put those people together in the same room. So in terms of whether it's sort of delivery or tech side, sometimes I find it really does go hand in hand, and it's the whole package. You need to know what technology might work and whether you need extra staff to help support that technology, or you've got a tech savvy staff that can do both at the same time. But then also with delivery, you know, the amount of people I see hold something up in the middle of a video conference and hold it up in front of their head and leave it there for 10 minutes. And it's like, guys, put it next to you or send it as a shared content, or, you know, is that a resource that you could actually send to the group beforehand so they can print it and have it out there. And so just rethinking the way that you may do something with a face-to-face audience, and just, you know, just tweak it a little bit to be aware of that digital engagement. You know, even just talking to you now, Ben, my arms are, you know, I'm a really active speaker. So for me, it's being careful not to wave my arms around too much.
Yeah.
Because that, if you've got a delay in your video, can be really disconcerting for the person, the participants at the other side, and it doesn't necessarily add anything, you know. My enthusiasm may come across, but I can do that as well, holding my hands in front of me, and I often will clasp them so I don't let go of my hands and start waving them around, and I will use them to gesture more appropriately if I'm specifically pointing or something, as opposed to the crazy lady with the octopus arms that you may see if it was a bit more face-to-face.
Well, actually, so that's a good point.
Even simple things like that, just reminding yourself, as you said, to slow down. And maybe don't wave, you know, don't make too many movements if you don't need to, because they can often be really distracting if you're doing too much too quickly.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, I think back 10 years ago when there wasn't this sheer amount of bandwidth, there was no such thing as a national broadband network. You know, let's be honest, it's not completely rolled out. There was no 5G, no 4G, barely a G. There was nothing around. And if you did move too much, you would freeze and tear the screen. It just could not literally keep up with you. So you kind of have to think about the amount of pixels, the amount of data that has to move to this everyone's screens. And it just doesn't work. Absolutely. Now, one of the things I've always found, for me at least, is, I mean, I love a shiny new tech toy. Guilty. Do love it all. But here's the thing. They're just a camera, so they're an eye. It's just a microphone, so it's an ear. Now, let's be honest, if Steve was listening in, he'd be yelling at me right now because the audio does matter. But eventually, as long as the audience can hear and see you and clearly understand you, you're doing your job.
Yep.
All the other stuff is just background noise. It's stuff you don't really need to worry about. So you got background noise. That was barked on cue just then.
yes, that is Turbo. And I think if anyone has a look at the latest post that we wrote on Virtual Excursions Australia with your top tips of things to avoid setting up a room, I actually put a photo of Turbo coming into the room whilst I was doing a session.
Now, there's a thing that happened to, remember it was last year, I think it was last year, it went viral where this bloke was doing a cross for the news and his toddler came in through the back door in his bedroom. It was just so cool because he kept his cool. He did such a good job.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what we wrote in that post as well, is there's a lot about being flexible. Things will go wrong. And if you get flustered by that, or, you know, are not prepared, then it's always much harder. So if you know 100% stuff will go wrong in your virtual excursions, and it's just a matter of being able to have enough flexibility to roll with that, you know, dropping your video. Oh, we've only got audio for a little while, you know, given activity. Why don't you guys go off and collect five things to do so and so, and I'll get that sorted. And, you know, just being able to have those moments of going, you know what, it will definitely at some point something will go wrong, and how do we work with that, and how do we fix it to still maintain that sort of continuity and professionalism that you want to have during your sessions.
Oh, totally. I mean, I actually remember doing a connection once, and the plan was to throw it to an offsite presenter who was, I think where they were doing dinosaur stuff, right? And the concern was that the picture quality was going to be terrible because at the time they were uploading via satellite, and it was terrible. And so the worries were, should we even do this? We're somehow going to ruin the content. I said, no way. It's like you're the foreign correspondent. You're coming from a crazy place. People are going to accept that your content is not going to be so good. In fact, it actually makes it more real. In fact, the more you stuff up and the less script you actually have, the more real you sound and the more likely you'll actually talk to someone like you're actually in the room with them. And it does work. Now, of course, it comes with some people like a script because there's a certain safety in scripts. And we do want great production value, but eventually you need to connect with that audience. And if you're not connecting because you're too busy worrying about the script and the pretty pictures, you've missed them anyway. It matters.
I completely agree with both of those points. I think, you know, that authenticity and owning it, it's like, yeah, we're going to do this live crossover. It's not going to be great quality because this person is in the middle of nowhere or really far away, but isn't exciting that we can actually connect with them at all. I think there's a lot of value in that. And, you know, moving away from script, I think, is absolutely important as well, because it means that when you're interacting with your students, their questions lead you in directions that you never expected.
That's right.
And I think that is always amazing. And one of the things that I've learned over the years, it's okay to say, I don't know the answer to that. You know, sometimes I get questions from the kids. I'm like, wow, that is such a good question. And you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but we can find it out together. So I either do a follow-up email that might have some the answers to that, or I give them the skills and ability to then research those answers themselves. So I think that some people are really afraid of, like, if I move off script, they'll ask me something and what if I don't know it? And they're the best moments when you don't know the answer. And sometimes I've had other participants have known the answer. If it's a really particular group and a very, very, detailed research, you know, some of these kids will know more about a particular topic than I will. I'll know the bigger picture information and can all do all the framing for them. But one student might know exactly that answer because it's something that they've really drilled down into before. So, you know, I love the kids being able to have the opportunity to answer that question for the rest of the group as well. So, you know, those opportunities for that student to then become the teacher, you know, that's so valuable and they'll remember that for a lifetime.
Absolutely. And I know that the vast majority of people listening in are teachers. And seriously, how often do you walk into a grade 3 classroom with a script? It's just not going to happen. And you also know that there's lots of tools that can help with that asynchronous learning. I mean, sometime last year, I spoke with a very good friend of mine, Sean Forty, who is a global ambassador for Flipgrid. And he is a big fan of using Flipgrid as a way of connecting with people via video, but asynchronously in such a way that they can just get back to you on video another time. You'll check it out and you'll answer them. No big deal. So there are lots of tools around it. I think the bottom line is, hey, we're all in this together and there are tools around and share the ideas around. And that's really the heart of what VEA is all about.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, every time one of us finds something that we really like and really works, it's sharing that information across. So the value of VEA since 2012 has been exactly that. And I'm really excited that we've got the opportunity to share that information again. Lots of new people coming on board that probably never expected to be here, never expected to be delivering online learning from their home. We can certainly help everyone with that, you know, whether it's just directing them to the Facebook page or directing them to the website where a lot of these things have been answered, or, you know, what you've been doing as well, you know, doing webinars and Zoom meetings to help people with that information. So I think, you know, Virtual Excursions Australia will really become a place that we'll be training people. We'll be helping people find the answers to those questions that they've got, both in, you know, not detailed technology, but sort of basic technology levels, but also best practice best practice in delivery, what works and what doesn't, and, you know, giving people the confidence to give it a go.
Absolutely. So where do we go? What's the name of this website and what do we do from there?
So it's virtualexcursionsaustralia.com.au. And then the Facebook page is Virtual Excursions Australia as well. And the Twitter is, I think it's
VCE Excursions or something like that.
I think it's VCE Excursions.
I struggle. But we'll put that in the show notes, right? Like, they'll always be there. You'll be able to find it. And I mean, I've been certainly tweeting out for the last couple of weeks because this community practice has always been there. It's just always been, in a lot of ways, hidden because it's not been something that everyone's needed. Now we do.
And I think you've got the sort of the professional learning group on LinkedIn as well that's got a lot of the video conferencing networking too. So that's always really useful to promote as well.
And there's I'll also put a link to the Churchill Fellowship I did, where I went overseas to learn a lot from North American providers. And there's a heap more content around as well from North American providers as well. So there's a heap of stuff out there, and VA certainly is grabbing as much detail as possible. And the person who's doing it is Karen. So thank you very much for your efforts.
You are welcome, Ben. It's certainly, great putting the Virtual Excursions Australia hat back on. It has been really busy just making sure that, you know, that the content's there and accessible for people. And, you know, the website has been hammered in the last month or so. And it's coming up really well in a lot of the searches and getting lots of clicks. So it's really great that people are using it for the purpose that it's there to provide that best practice and information for people to have the confidence to get going in the digital world.
Absolutely. Look, Karen, thank you very much for peeling yourself away from the site just for a moment, just to have a bit of a chat about it. And anyone listening in, please, jump on the site. Seriously, it is worth your time. By the time you jump on it, I guarantee there's going to be more stuff since we spoke on this podcast now. It's just going to keep building and building and building, and maybe share your ideas, because that is the idea. It's a sharing space. It's not a hiding space. So look, thank you very much again, Karen, and have a fantastic afternoon.
Excellent. Thanks, Ben. Anytime.
We hope you've been enjoying the Physics Ed podcast. We love making science make sense. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? If you're outside of Australia, you can connect with us via a virtual excursion. See our website for more.
Well, there we go. We just heard from Karen Player, who you can really tell is a massive fan of distance education, and she's been doing it for so many years. And the thing is, a lot of the people on Virtual Excursions Australia have been doing the same thing. So seriously, I encourage you to definitely head over to the Virtual Excursions Australia website. That's virtualexcursionsaustralia.com.au. There you'll find all sorts of stuff. Tech talk, various content providers, the booking hubs, about where this all came from, and where we're going, all the events and all that sort of stuff that you can get involved in. And if you want to find out a little bit more about some of that background knowledge that exists within Virtual Excursions Australia, just reach out to Karen and the team there, and they'll be able to head you straight off to where you need to find things out. That's what it's all about. So again, you're always welcome to Karen and the team, but you're also welcome to get in touch with myself. I've been doing a lot of this as well for many, many years, and have quite a few things I could share out to you very, very quickly that can get you on your way. So look, I hope you got a lot out of this chat. This has certainly almost been a trip down memory lane for me, but it's certainly worth your time to check out that website. So all the best. I hope you're doing okay considering how messed up this current situation is globally. And I know that there'll be people listening in who have been directly affected by this crisis. It's a mess, but we're all here to look after each other. So that's what this podcast really is all about. I hope you're doing well, and I'll catch you another time.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS.
This podcast is part of the Australian Educators Online Network. AEON.net.au.